politics and
baseball.
And baseball. I've never heard that before. The way I heard it, it might be from Pennsylvania, northern Pennsylvania, you don't talk about politics and religion. Why don't you talk about religion? It might offend someone. Would you like to elaborate? Okay.
Or they might think you're trying to persuade them in some way.
Okay. They might think you're trying to persuade them and they want to hold in their view. Good.
Might be makes them uncomfortable because if indeed they want to talk about it, they may have to change, particularly their core values.
Mm-hmm. I had a professor at Tennessee State that. That's the reason he gave me for not believing. He'd have to change his lifestyle. It's kind of how you approach it. It is. I agree with you. It's better if the person you're talking to about religion are asking you questions. Okay, good.
Have a desire to learn.
Have a desire to learn. Good. Robert.
Most people don't know enough about religion to give their thoughts validity.
Oh, that's deeper than I went. So that they just have a surface amount. And they're afraid you'll go to deeper levels?
Exactly. Yeah,
very good.
Mike, Susan had one time someone who wanted to learn more about the Bible, but she didn't want to study about with Susan because she knew too much about the Bible. So it's like, I want to get in, but I don't want to get in too far and too deep. So what she wanted was somebody who had a little bit more knowledge than she did, but not a lot more.
Okay, so disproportionate amount of faith. Very good. We're talking about why people don't talk about religion. Okay, so you should get in there, rip, roar, and argument. Are you going to follow her up?
You know, I just think, I think religion is a subject that causes people to kind of hoard you. It's, and even in a work or school situation, if you want someone to separate from you, begin to talk about religion.
Okay. They will. They definitely will. Before I had my shoulder operations, I was in the gym and this one guy was complaining about so many preachers who were there. He said, you talk to some guy and you like him, he turns out to be a preacher. And I said, you don't know where those guys are going to show up next. Bob.
They seem to have a lot of problems. They hate to commit themselves to say something. You know, like you said, get into the word. This is the book. So you know what's right. It's just as much as what's right as what's in there is not what's in there. So you'll know both ways. Say, hey, I never see that before. So you're going to be knowledgeable, and then you can go out and do it.
Okay. Okay, does anybody remember what we're going to talk about tonight? Spiritual warfare. and specifically about demons. So I thought we'd go through and see if you could recognize demons. Does a demon look like this? Or more like this? There are no wrong right answers on this, and we just... You don't think either one? No? They're straight shooters. They can be what they want to be. Okay. More like this. Or like this. They can look like anything. Shadow hunters, okay. Okay, let's try this one. Like that.
It looks like a happy pig.
How about that one? He reminds you of somebody. Now, the reason I got to the pigs at the end is because that's where our story comes from tonight. A biblical example of what the demons could do. So, there's a lot of things out there that just aren't true. And if they're just not true, you end up with why you're hesitant to talk about things. Some will tell you that demons are angels that have fallen away. Now, the trouble with this one is, there were some angels that fell away. They came about, Peter talks about them. God didn't have pity on the angels that sinned. He tied them up, threw them into the dark pits of hell until the time of judgment. So that's one place it's found. One of the other, did I hear somebody? No? Okay. One of the other things that when you get started is that a lot of Bible scholars think that Jude and Peter wrote about the same time and about the same things. So he's got his idea of the angels that sinned were cast away in dark pits until the great day of judgment. There are a couple big, big problems. What would you think would be problem one?
So you are saying that there were angels that quit serving God.
They're not walking around the earth in the form of demons.
I think you hit a good point here, but I'm not hearing real well tonight. Okay. Do you ever read of an angel occupying somebody? Not there. It's not there at all. Demons, you never hear of being on earth without occupying someone. Now, there's a lot of information out there about demons. And because we have so much information, we can sort of nail this one down to exactly what they are and what they do. But as I said, this isn't something we talk about a whole lot. So if you have questions, ask Kirk. He will give you the answers.
So you're saying that demons and fallen angels, two different things.
Right. Very much two different things. There is so much out in the Jewish writings. Jewish writers usually wanted to keep the Jewish faith pure. And in keeping the faith pure, they wrote a bunch of stuff about what they were going through. And they wrote a bunch of stuff about those who opposed them. So they would probably be our best source of what demons are. Then secondly, we've got the Christian fathers. Who's our Christian fathers? It's a fancy name. What's it mean?
Patriarchs.
Yes? I'll catch you in a second. Okay, he comes up with historians. That's one of the reasons, yes. Yeah, these are people who lived close to the time that Jesus was on earth. And because they were so close, you've got written testimonies about what happened when he was here. And this is, Origen is one of my favorites. He wrote mainly opposing Gnostics and demons. They were his two subjects. And he sent it all over wherever a church was established. The Bible says a lot about demons. We'll find some of that out. But the pagan world, this is where Josephus comes in. Josephus wasn't a Christian. But that non-Christian world wrote a lot about this phenomena. See, I said that without stuttering. I'm proud of myself. How far did they exist? How far back? Well, let me give you one of those places. Saul is king of Israel. At this time, Samuel's been to him and said, God will take Israel away from you. You won't be king. And while he's king, it says, an evil spirit came and troubled him. And the only way that he could get through the evil spirit troubling him was to get somebody to play the psaltery, which is a small harp, if you want to describe it that way. Sort of looks like a U with strings on it. And David would come and play, and Saul then could rest. As soon as the next day hit and David wasn't there to play, it all came back. So he became a very important thing. He mentions it again over in chapter 18. The spirit takes control. He begins acting like a crazy man inside his house. Who looks like a crazy man? I guess I got to take that one on. What would be crazy? It would be David's. How about taking a spear and throwing it at the one man who's given you comfort? That's kind of crazy. And yet that's exactly what Saul did. But the emphasis has to be what Jesus did. Because the New Testament is radically different than the Old. Do I have somebody with a lot of breath?
Jesus and his disciples crossed Lake Galilee and came to shore near the town of Gerasa.
That's great.
When he was getting out of the boat, a man with an evil spirit quickly ran to him from the graveyard where he had been living. No one was able to tie the man up anymore, not even with a chain. He had often been put in chains and leg irons, but he broke the chains and smashed the leg irons. No one could control him. Night and day, he was in the graveyard or on the hills, yelling and cutting himself with stones. The man saw Jesus in the distance. He ran up to him and knelt down. He shouted, "Jesus, Son of God in heaven, what do you want with me? Promise me in God's name that you won't torture me." The man said this because Jesus had already told the evil spirit to come out of him.
Have you been out of air yet?
Jesus asked, "What's your name?" The man answered, "My name is Lots, because I have lots of evil spirits." Could have been a bunch of.
Could say legion, but that's not quite accurate because legions were 3,000 to 6,000, and he's going to say 2,000 were in him.
Let them go, and then they went out of the man, or and they went out of the man and into the pigs.
You're doing good, Kirk.
Everyone who had seen what had happened told about the man and the pigs. Then the people started begging Jesus to leave their part of the country. When Jesus was getting into the boat, the man begged to go with him, but Jesus would not let him. Instead, he said, "Go home to your family and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how good he has been to you."
Okay. You want to be the owner or hired guy?
Hired guy.
Hired guy. We'll let Gary be the owner then. You are in charge of a herd of pigs. You have an assistant. He's just not here yet. And you got to go to your owner and say, pigs were fine. They were doing good. And then this guy came by and he said something to this other guy, and the pigs started getting restless, and all of a sudden went whoop, and down they went, down in there trying to do the swim, and they all drowned. Now, you can take one or two stands on that. Since we're using Gary as the owner, he's just lost a lot of money. And that's not good for business when you lose a lot of money.
Also, these were Jewish people, right? They weren't supposed to be having these pigs in the first place.
No, these are Gentiles. Yeah, this is a Gentile region. And Chuck say, no, maybe this isn't that bad. But then he looks at the pigs, and they're still floating. And he knows he's lost a job. You've passed Sonny's one too many times today.
But also, they probably were aware of the man that lived in the tent.
Yeah, he howled day and night. It was easy to be seen, yeah.
And to see the drastic change in the man gave some validity to their story.
Where'd the demons go after the pigs died?
Hang on, I'm getting there. Hang on. I might be old and slow, but I do get around. So what do we learn? We're not did that.
One thing you can learn is that in that same passage, it describes them as demons and as evil spirits.
Mm-hmm. And they are used interchangeably throughout the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
First thing you know, when Jesus comes, this guy who's got the demon in him, and that's got to be William, you got the demon in you, and you come running up to Jesus, and the first thing that's said is, yeah. And notice he has no power over Jesus at all. In fact, he's scared of him. And the man is doing all this howling and things, is saying to Jesus, don't just cast us out. There's pigs over there. Let us go into the pigs. Sounds kind of desperate, doesn't it? Why would that sound desperate? Because it is. They have nowhere to be.
They can't function without being inside of a functioning vessel.
Yes. If they don't have any function, they're not built that way. Is that a hand, Fran? Oh, okay. Yeah, you just, I didn't want to say. Kirk!
One of the things that stood out to me in that passage was verse 7, where he says, what business do we have with each other, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? And then he calls them
Yeah.
And then he says, don't torture me. I found that interesting, of what, you know, why he expected that Jesus would torture him. And I also found it interesting that he would actually invoke the name of God in this situation. I found that very interesting.
Yeah, but if Jesus says he'll not do it by the name of God, they trust him. They've seen him before.
That was him talking, not the demons in him.
The demons were the ones talking about not being cast out.
Right.
And you promise us you just won't cast us out, leave us alone. Promise us by the name of your Father, God.
When Jesus walked up to him and he was in the graveyard, that was him having a conversation with Jesus and not the demons inside of him.
The demons inside of him are having this conversation.
Us,
yeah. There was only one guy, but he had a lot of demons in him. Yeah, they know exactly who he is when they first lay eyes on him.
I may be getting ahead of you, but at one point, some demons said, are you here to do this to us before it's time? So they knew that he was coming and that there would be a time that they'd be in trouble. They thought he was early.
Yeah. I didn't think it was going to happen yet. Notice his super strength. You can put iron, I want to call them
shackles.
That's the word I wanted to use. They didn't hold him. They used chains. I didn't hold him either. So while he's in this human being, he's got him really terrifying the people around him.
Well, it did seem like while demon was in the man, it did seem like he was feeling pain.
Mm-mm.
Because he was cutting himself with stone.
In psychology, if somebody starts cutting themselves, there's a massive depression that has to be treated. And they will cut themselves or burn themselves. I'm not saying that's what happened here because I wasn't there to see it. But it's possible that being in contact with demons leaves you emotionally down. And there's a big debate. So pay your money, take your choice. A lot of good men believe one side, and a lot of good men believe the other.
And we acknowledge that the demons who were spirit form, right?
Mm-hmm.
Identified the spirit within the Lord as being of God.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we was talking before about when we, in the last days, when we become spirit form and a change, would we recognize each other?
That's a good question.
They recognized each other.
Yes, they did.
So maybe.
Maybe.
How about explaining how the people reacted to seeing a man in his right mind?
Ah, wait, I'll get there.
Okay.
That's way ahead of me. That's at the end. Why didn't he just shoot the demons in some other people? Yeah. Jesus is not out to torture any people. And so putting the demons in somebody else, you read real well.
What I find interesting is they don't seem to be able to live without being in something or something.
Yes, they aren't.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm catching up, just Leonard, right now. They asked, don't torture me. And the torture would become bad when they were cast out. So they want to know if he's there to torture them by casting them out. Isn't that interesting? We've been in this body so long, and now being cast out, that's torture. Why might that be?
It's interesting in verse 10, it said, after Jesus said, you know, first the demon says, don't torture me, Jesus says, come out. And then Jesus asks, you know, what's your name? He tells him. And then it says, he is the man, the demon, began to implore Jesus earnestly not to send him out of the country.
Hang on. That'll be a next week question. Well, that'll be in 2 weeks. But you're teaching next week, so you could answer it for me next week. Demons just don't function outside of a body. They don't function at all. Excuse me, I didn't. We'll catch up to that. Yes.
I'm going to go ahead and read this, and then you can tell me if I'm behind or ahead.
Okay.
This is in Matthew 12. When an impure spirit, which is the same as the evil spirit or the demon, comes out of a person, it goes through arid places seeking rest and does not find it.
Mm-hmm.
Then it says, I will return to the house I left. When it arrives, it finds the house unoccupied, swept clean and put in order. Then it goes and takes with it seven other spirits, more wicked than itself, and they go in and live there.
Mm-hmm.
So that indicates that when it's not in a person, it's just out in the ether looking for peace, looking for rest.
Mm-hmm.
And looking for someone else to occupy.
Yeah. Yeah, you're 2 weeks ahead of me.
Okay.
But we will catch up. Okay. Everybody sees it, it's not good. And then they say this, please, not the abyss. What's the abyss? Besides a movie? Nope. Could be. It could be. Literally, in the Greek, what it means is it's a place that has no bottom. So if you could drill a hole, I guess, say, to China, where you're supposed to come out, if you drill right through, it has no bottom. Because it has no bottom, it renders you helpless. Now, it's used in good terms and bad. This is when they're talking about being Christians and what it means to be Christians, and they're trying to do it all by themselves. And he says, well, which one do you want to do? You want to climb up into heaven and get it settled there? Or do you want to descend into the abyss and find Jesus there? But what do you want to do? And it's used very practically. You can't do either. You can't go to a place that doesn't have a bottom. And you can't rise out of a place that doesn't have a bottom. There's no way to climb out of it.
Constantly falling.
Constantly falling with no escape. So the demons don't want to be in the abyss because they won't be able to get out of it. So far, so good. This number of demons is astounding. By far the most anywhere in Scripture. If you have a New American Standard, English Standard, it says legion here. But this is the common language, and we say lots. And lots are probably more accurate than legion, because legion had to be 3,000 to 6,000 soldiers. There are only 2,000 demons, so they fall that much short of being a legion. Yes?
It was 2,000 pigs, but there could have been more than one demon spirit in each pig.
You're right.
So, what did you say about the 2,000?
2,000 falls that much short of a legion.
Where did you get the 2,000 from? I'm not following you.
The pigs.
The pigs.
Okay.
And there could have been more than one. I have always assumed there was just one and one pig. Okay. When demons were in a person, they hated him. Yeah. They weren't there to just sort of spend a little time. When they put chains on him, he broke the chains. He'd go running through the cities. This wasn't easy.
That's like the boy who was falling into the fire. The father wanted him saved from that situation that he was in.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes it caused him to fall into the fire or into the water or
our brains are working together again. That should scare you. A dad has a son who's showing destructive behavior. And he has gone by this time through the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and nothing's changed. So now they go to Jesus. They want to go to Jesus, but can't because Jesus is, anybody know where he is? It's high. Mount of Transfiguration. So he's had this glorious Mount of Transfiguration thing, and his three cohorts, Peter, John, and James, got to see it, and they want to establish altars all the way down to say one for him, and one for him, and one for him, and the voice comes down and says, this is my son. You hear him. And they get down, and there's this big hubbub because the ones left behind, the other nine disciples, have been going through what they knew to do, and it hasn't worked. So when Jesus shows up, the dad jumps right to him and said, this thing throws my son in water, probably rivers. It throws him into fires. And I'm scared I'm going to lose him. So Jesus looks at his disciples and says, how long do I have to do these things before you get enough faith? That's a paraphrased edition. And Jesus gets the demons out. And the boy is in his own mind when Jesus leaves the scene. And then he says this, how come we couldn't get it out, Jesus? We were doing everything you taught us to do, and it wasn't working. And he says, this is a different kind of demon, one that could only come out by fervent prayer. So there's more than one type of demon out there. Yeah, you'll get that, the way he's acting, actually putting his life in danger, is what separates that from mental illness. The fact that he's throwing himself in water and trying to drown, or then burn himself up, would signal to the Jewish people that this is a demon and not a sickness. They did draw a line. There were some people who had epilepsy in that day and time, like they do today. And
they wouldn't attempt to harm themselves.
Yes, they don't harm themselves. They just have a seizure and get back up. But this is, he's going to fall into the fire or water, and one of them's going to get him. Kirk.
Some manuscripts don't even contain that verse. That one's a questionable one. But it seems to me that Jesus is rebuking his disciples here.
Mm-hmm.
It's because of your lack of faith.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like Peter walking on the water. You know, it was working until Peter lost his faith and took his eyes off the Lord. And I think that's what Jesus is saying here, is that you guys haven't been praying like you ought to have been. You haven't been fasting. You haven't been doing the things necessary to line yourself up with me, line yourself up proof.
And there's a lot of good people who agree with you. There's just a lot of more people who say this was a special type of demon. Because according to the authorities, the Jewish authorities, especially, they had rank. This one was more powerful than this one. Okay? All right. Sixth thing. They kind of like graves and tombs. Why would people like graves and tombs?
Bodies.
Oh, yeah. Dead bodies, but they need live bodies.
Oh, so we're not going like on TV.
Yeah. The Night of the Zombies is out. Okay. And he is at his strongest point. Very good. There's this, though, in out of the Old Testament. There were some spiritualists, is what I would call them, but you might call them something else, who contact the dead. And the Bible condemns those people who deal with calling back the dead. By the way, King Saul did that. Anybody know who he called back?
Samuel.
Samuel. Yeah. Samuel was. Now, he says, deep from the earth you will speak, from low in the dust your words will come, your voice will whisper from the ground like a ghost conjured up from the grave. I found some of the explanations for this. So we'll go over here, you can look at it. The first one that really caught my eye was, some people say that this was a spiritualist who was a ventriloquist, and they just threw their voice where they wanted to, and But that's not what it says. But that is a theory. Take it for what it's worth. The second is that it is demons trying to get out from where they're at. They were placed in the ground. They were evil when they lived. They want to come back to earth and be the same. Don't like that one either. The third one, they're not in danger around areas that they're all powerful in. And so when you talk about demons, a graveyard, in this day and time, they would be very powerful. Okay, questions, comments?
People wouldn't try to run them out of the graveyard.
Well, people don't go to graveyards at night. I don't know why. They don't. When we lived in West Virginia, there was one funeral home in the town that we lived in. And he kept preaching at me. He says, "You never accept a funeral at night. You never do." And I said, "Yes, sir." Because I was young back then, you know. But you never go because people won't go to the graveyards at night. Okay, what have you seen? They're not all powerful. In fact, they sort of, when they ran into Jesus, right away said, "Whoa, we'll do what you tell us, but please don't tell us to do that."
They also believe.
They also believe, yeah. Here's the reason they said that Jesus probably put the spirits in the pigs. Because he knew the pigs would run down and drown themselves, and it left the demons without anywhere to go. I find that supremely interesting. They got in the pigs committed suicide, and they couldn't get out. Yes, this was temporary in their minds. It was, Jesus had it planned out. What do you say?
We don't know anything about the man they called Legion. But when you think about the boy, the young boy, you know, it wasn't because of something he did.
No, it wasn't. No, I didn't have to be weak.
I ain't talking about physically. I'm talking about not in the right frame of mind.
I wouldn't know where to draw that line. I think
you read a scripture that said that when they come out and they come back, they will bring more.
Yeah. That was Paul's reading. And we're going to talk about that next time I'm up here talking about demons. Okay?
They open a door to them. A person opens a door to them.
They can.
That's when they come in.
Yeah, they can. But a lot of times, they were just there. So we don't know if they did anything to earn it. I tend to lean against that. Two of the writers were really against Ouija boards. I just don't think Ouija boards are possessed. It's just hard for me to say, yeah, you put some letters down on a board and now it's possessed. I don't believe it. Yes?
There are some things that happened when Christ was on this earth that was pre-planned.
Uh-huh.
That was for an example.
Uh-huh.
We don't know if this is a
book. Uh-huh. Come back in 2 weeks, or Kirk's going to answer him next week.
This passage here, do you think it could also be saying something to the Yeah. He's a figure of speech in that sense. That's the first thing that came to my mind. Poetic licensure, if you will, maybe, or a figurative way of speaking that, because in the previous verses, it's talking about how this town, Ariel, is going to be laid low, and it's going to be demolished by the Lord. It's going to be judged for some reason or another. And, you know, so I see this speaking to, as God's way of saying, you're all going to die.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Two things I want to go over real quick. There are some of our brethren who can't see from back here. Could we move forward at least halfway so that they can come and see the screen and be able to read it with us? This way, towards the front. And move closer together so you can hear. Think about that. When I come back, I'll take your thoughts. Second, we are God's children, and we are in Christ Jesus. You don't have to worry about demons as long as that's the case. They're scared of our Lord, and they're not going to take him on. I saw a hand there.
When I left home when I was 17, my father, who was very much believed in demons, and the thing that he cautioned me of, he says, you know, you're leaving home, you're very young. He says, you know, you beware of the vices.
Okay, very good. It can happen. I will see you in 2 weeks, but Kirk, if you haven't sat in his class, he's excellent. Absolutely excellent. So, all right, thank you. Thank you, sir. I appreciate your help.
I listened to Answer Machine just before we started.
Yes.
And John Fisher left a message on there. It sounded very urgent. And he said, Mike, please call me as soon as you get this message. But
okay.
It was about 2 o'clock when he called.
I'll give him a call. Oh, we're going to see the grandkids.
Oh, yeah, that'd be a blast.
Yeah. For